I'm Reggie Ponder, The Real Critic. I got a chance to speak with the producers Greg Quadere and Monique Walton about their movie Sing Sing. It stars Coma Domingo and Paul Racy, but the stars are actually the other actors. Here's an excerpt from this interview.
Talk about what this movie is about.
This movie is about a real life theater program inside of a maximum security prison at Sing Sing in New York. And it tells a story of one production from casting to opening night behind the prison walls of a time-traveling musical comedy called Breaking the Mummy's Code that really happened in 2005. But really, it's a story of a friendship of two people who couldn't have been more different from each other, who through this program came more alive and became closer than family.
And when you talk about family, just speaking with the actors, they felt that. I asked them, I said, well, did you guys come together in the filming of this? They said, no, we were together before the filming of this. Can you speak to that?
Most of the cast were our alumni of this program, Rehabilitation Through the Arts. And so that was a formative time for them where they became like family. And so that bond remained even if they hadn't, you know, seen each other in years. And so this film was actually almost a bit of a reunion for them. And we felt that really immediately when we all, you know, came together, that like there was this kind of, you know, celebratory aspect of everyone kind of being in the same space, because they don't really get to do that very often. So having that time together was really special.
One other dimension of family that's fun to talk about is that Coleman and Sean San Jose, who played Mike, are actually real life best friends. They've been friends for over 30 years and started in the Bay Area theater together. And so they brought that into together with the community of RTA alumni, and then through the filming formed something very cohesive and tight and beautiful altogether.
You're right, something very, very beautiful. There was the discussion that, you know, men don't cry. Well, in watching this, I was trying to hide the tears and stop the tears from coming, because it really was powerful to see. When you were writing this, there is this humanity that you show that it's so intricate, in fact, to me, that I noticed that you didn't dwell on the horrors of the prison system. You show some of those things, like searching through your stuff, and there was a little drug dealing here or there, but you didn't really show that part. You showed the other part. That obviously was a conscious decision.
It was quite conscious, in that we all have an awareness of the sort of dark cloud that exists around incarceration. Our imagination can fill a lot of the space, and I think sometimes hearing the story of it, as it, you know, particularly with Dino and telling the story of like coming to this revelation that we're here to become human again, hearing that is way more visceral to me than showing something sensationalized or gratuitous. And, you know, it just wasn't what we were interested in looking at. We were interested in looking at, like, despite the existence of that, inside of these spaces that these men created, that, you know, staggering beauty could unfold, you know. Wow. And so that to us felt like the revelatory thing that we wanted to draw close to and pay attention to.
Well, it's interesting though, because if you hadn't shown some of that, like going...
Yeah, it's not a summer camp.
Right. and so it wouldn't have come off as authentic. So you showed that part, but you just made sure that that wasn't the main part of what you were trying to show. And I for one, appreciate that. So thank you so much. This movie actually invites the audience into it. This is not one that I think, at least how I felt watching it, like you just watching it and it's like, oh, okay, that's good. It was like really an invitation into the lives of these people, would you say?
Well, yeah, and I think I'm still touched by what you're saying about like this sort of instinct that we're supposed to hold our tears. And I think I would say that we're all holding on to a lot of feeling right now, like almost like it's almost can feel like it's too much to hold on to. And we're also afraid what happens if we let any of it out, like what might it say about us. But actually the letting out is, it's going to say the most beautiful things about you. And I think once we can let go of that fear, you know, the power and beauty of the revelation that everyone else is also holding on to it, and we can all let go, that's kind of hopefully something I think people will take away from this experience.
Just realizing when, like, we don't really see men being vulnerable on screen, nor really see black and brown people being vulnerable in this way with each other. And I think that becomes an invitation as well. Once you can see it, then you can allow yourself to experience it. And I think we need that. I think it brings us closer. So
it's really interesting. interesting because people might not know until they get to the end that these are real people. When you get to the end and you see those credits and they're saying, hey, this is playing himself, he's playing himself, playing himself, playing himself. It really does show their willingness to be vulnerable, that they were able to say, you know, and I think when you look at the two main characters, you talk about that breaking down. Both of them had to break down in some kinds of way. You think that Coleman's character had it all together in some kind of ways, but that's not what you showed in this film.
Those are the figures probably, we probably all have someone like that in our lives, and a lot of us may be that person where they are so concerned with being of service to others, being out there, but the reality is that it's also partially a defense mechanism. To be in service of someone else means that we don't actually have to ask for help ourselves, you know? And those people may be in the deepest need of it, you know? And I think that was one of the special realizations that came from making this film, was like, oh, I need help. You know, I need help too, you know, just myself as a person. And the storytelling process, you know, it was subconscious in the script, but then in execution and actually seeing that come out through the relationship between Divine G and Divine I, realized that it was actually a mirror, you know, back to myself as well.
There's a moment when Divine uses the N-word and Coleman's character says, no, we use beloved. I'm getting a little choked up here about that part because it was so respectful of humanity, because even while Divine's character was telling him, you can't do this, you can't tell me this, and then at the end of that scene, he's like, I hear you, but I do need to tell you a little something. You in my face, but I do need to tell you something. We don't use that word here. We use beloved. That was powerful.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. You know, I still feel, emotional watching that, even though I've seen it so many times, because it's so profound, and it makes you think about language, makes you think about, you know, how you relate to one another and what it means. And, like, I think you're, like, exactly right, like, in terms of, like, it's a respect. There's still mutual respect there.
It really was.
I remember so vividly the first time I heard Beloved, and that was when Clarence and Coleman were meeting for the first time on Zoom, and they'd never met each other, and Clarence told him that story of how that transition into that tenderness of that word, and when Coleman heard that, everything stopped and he was brought to tears.
Yeah.
And that's why it's in the film. Wow. Is because of what two of them shared when they first met each other.
Sing Sing is currently in theaters. To hear the whole interview, go to reggieponder.com. I'm on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube at The Real Critic. That's REEL. And I'll see you next time.